open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on, turn it up.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello, championship. That's right, Cleveland. The Cavs plane has landed. They have brought the title home. What a night last night. What a day for the city of Cleveland and the party just getting started. In fact, I don't think it stopped as LeBron gets off the plane just moments ago, a stone's throw from where we are here in Berea, wearing an Ultimate Warrior t-shirt. Kevin Love's got the Smoking Skull Steve Austin belt. And the Cavs have, more importantly, the Larry O'Brien trophy. If you see the crowds out there right now going completely crazy, when I was driving in today on 237, it was just madness. People just walking, just a sea of humanity, celebration, honking, waving, excitement everywhere. And it is just one of those moments, just absolute goosebumps. And just what a great, great moment and a great, great day for a city that so deserved it. LeBron James cementing himself as one of the very best to ever do what he does. The Mamba with the shot right in the eye of Steph Curry. Stinks Curry. Take some of that. And the Cavs brought it home. And I got to tell you, it's just absolutely remarkable that it finally happened. I knew it was going to happen. I believed it with all my heart. But Gribbs, it's amazing. It's amazing to see. And as a lifelong Clevelander like yourself, I'll just say, speak from the heart, Sir Andrew.
I'll just say, and my wife can speak to this. When it happened, like when the game was officially over, I didn't know how to react. Like I wasn't like jumping up and down or anything like that. I was just kind of in a state of shock. And I think that's like, it's somewhat wearing off now and it's finally sinking in that this actually happened. But those 5 minutes after that game was over, it was just like a weird thing came over my body. Like I was just kind of standing there staring at everything. I mean, it was, and the place I was at, people didn't know how to react either. Like they got excited for like 30 seconds making noise. And then it just got kind of quiet. And I looked around and grown men just crying.
Oh, there were tears.
It was incredible. It was an incredible moment. And it set up through so much build up to this. And it culminates in one of the greatest game sevens in any sport ever. I mean, the back and forth, a close game in a series with double digit wins for every team in the first six games. And then you have the reason why you're there, LeBron rising up in the moment with a defensive play. And then kind of the future of this team, the one of the main reasons why he came back, Kyrie Irving making the shot that just killed the Warriors. I mean, it was.
You swear to never besmirch the Mamba again.
I mean, he rose up, and then even you had a really good performance from Kevin Love last night. I think you had a very solid
game in plus minus his floor game. That's what we said. We said all we need from him is a good floor game. He doesn't need to score. Floor game. Plus 19 on the day, 14 boards, 4 offensive, 2 steals, including one that he took for a putback. He played phenomenally well. The D on Stinks Curry at the end of the game, fantastic. What just an unbelievable, unbelievable game.
It's hard to say it any other way, but it was perfect. Everything about it, the adversity that, you know, I talked about this last week, just the Warriors didn't really know how to handle adversity because their season was just seemed so easy breezy. They didn't have as much to deal with in season. The Cavs had as much adversity to deal with as any team in the league. You fire your coach midway through the season. Apparently no one's getting along throughout the entire year. Channing Frye has to come in and be the peacemaker and realist to wake them up and let them know how good they've got it. And then all of a sudden things start clicking. And then you have adversity in the Raptor series where the Cavs looked crappy for a couple games.
You're wondering,
are they even going to make it to the finals? And then to lose it's not just the 3-1. It's how the Cavs lost the first two games. I mean, I've rarely seen a team play as bad as the Cavs did in game two in such a big moment and then come back the way they did. It's just incredible. And to beat the Warriors 4 out of 5 times, it's just astonishing.
It's absolutely amazing. And for me, you know, look, there have been times when I said, I don't think LeBron's wired the way that I want my superstar to be wired. Well, I'll tell you what, the switch flipped and he was absolutely sensational. And last night he really couldn't shoot the jumper. He made the one big three, but other than that, he really couldn't shoot the jumper and yet still dominated the game. 11 boards, 11 assists, 27 points, ended up leading in every statistical category. He was unbelievable, and the modern-day Mamba. Love did what he had to do. Everybody came in, chipped in, and did what they had to do. And to see them go in a game where you're on the road against the Warriors, who have the two-time reigning MVP, the unanimous MVP, and his sidekick, Draymond Green, goes for 32-15-9 and couldn't miss, and you still win, that is unbelievable. I told you Stinks Curry would melt under the lights. That's exactly what he did. As soon as he threw that behind-the-back pass with 5 minutes to go in a tie game in Game 7 of the NBA Finals and threw it out of bounds, I said, it's over. It's Irene City. This Cavs team showed so much heart, and for LeBron James to go from where he looked like he was struggling early and to just flip the switch the way that he did and absolutely dominate, cement his legacy, and bring this city the championship that it so richly deserved. I'm from the Bay Area, okay? I couldn't have been rooting harder for the Cavs last night. I was rooting just as much as anybody who was in that room that was from Cleveland, because this city needs it. And you can see just driving in today, it was a massive humanity. Everybody's happy. This, the pride that this city gets from this title. For LeBron James to go through and say, I came back for one reason, and to do it. I mean, it is. It's like a fairy tale, and it happened. And you said something so interesting. So the people that I was with, and I was with a bunch of a big group of people, and you know, it was Father's Day, and I got to watch it with my kids, and that was really cool. And a lot of them were crying. They're happy. And then I said, like, I don't know what to do with this feeling. My whole identity has been Cleveland, and we never get it done. And now all of a sudden we do. And I said, that's a good thing. You can live with that. I said, you're a successful businessman. You are successful. You're from Cleveland. Now the city can feel that success. And when everybody thumbs their nose at Cleveland, look, the flats are coming back. This is a great city. It's a great place to be. There's a ton of energy. And now you hope that this just propels everything else, even that next level. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, because as I was watching that game, as much as I logically believed the Cavs could win this game seven, as a Clevelander, I was sitting there throughout the entire game wondering, how is this going to make me even more miserable about Cleveland sports? That thing is in the back of your head the entire game. I'm thinking that even as the game gets closer and closer down the stretch, every Warriors run, you're like, okay, this might be it. They might just run out of gas here. But the Cavs just kept pushing and kept going forward, and that's why it just felt like that last minute of that game was surreal, to the point where when Maurice Spates takes that last shot, I'm then realizing, oh, like,
it's
this is over. Like, this is like the game's over now.
When Stinks Curry missed about 8 shots in a row, it was over.
Yeah.
It was over. They did something that had never been done in the history of the NBA before. Now, I do think that that's a little bit of a misleading stat, because in the old format, I think it would have been much tougher to come back from 3-1. Because in the new format, all you have to do is swipe game 5. Maybe they're resting on their laurels up 3-1. You get a home game, then you go back. I think if game 5 were in Cleveland, for example, and they had to go up to the Warriors and beat Draymond twice in a row, they would have done it.
Yeah.
Okay. But it would have been a little bit more challenging. But this was just, I mean, I got goosebumps. And I'm sitting here thinking, watching that, because, you know, when we travel with the Cleveland Browns, that's exactly where our plane goes.
Oh, yeah.
Just to think of what it would be like for the Browns to do it. And, you know, I know Joe Hayden was talking to Monday Morning Quarterback Peter King, saying, you know, this hopefully will lift us up and inspire us. And it's just an amazing thing for the city. And the fact that they did what I think every red-blooded male on the planet would do is they win, then they pit stop in Vegas, which is probably the greatest thing ever. J.R. Smith still doesn't have a shirt, which I imagine he lost somewhere in Vegas. It's just, I love these guys. I love it.
It was a very likable team, and I think it goes back to what happened. I think the two guys that were key in all this and kind of bringing them to reality were Fry and Jefferson. I mean, those guys were like the veteran backbones. They've been through so much. I mean, they know the city's been through a lot of losing, but those guys have been through the ups and downs of the NBA. You know, Fry's been on teams that are just obscure, just not winning anything anytime soon. And they come in there, they lighten up the team. Then you find out after the game that they'd been doing like a major league style unveiling of the Larry O'Brien Trophy throughout the entire playoffs. Like,
it's amazing.
They had a lot of chemistry for a team that was maligned all season for their lack of chemistry. And I think that's the big thing. Whereas you looked at the Warriors, they weren't really feuding or anything, but they were just crumbling as the
Stinks
as the
Curry
season
was a ended. Cancer.
It was interesting to see, and it's crazy to think that the Warriors went something like, it was at 7-7 in their last 14 games, or just something. They lost just as many games in the postseason as they did in the entire regular season.
Yep.
So it clearly, the Cavs may not have been the best team throughout most of the season. And if you do this seven-game series over again, maybe it doesn't end this way. But they rose to the occasion at the best possible time and a great time for this city.
A great time for this city. A great time for Cleveland, for Clevelanders all around. I mean, I've heard from so many people, and when people identify you as being from Cleveland. I mean, I got texts from people I haven't talked to in months, years, whatever, from all around the country who just identify me as being from Cleveland. I'm a proud Clevelander, even though I've lived here for about 15 years. I am a very proud Clevelander. And just hit me up. Congrats. It must be so great for you. I mean it. So Matthew Berry, the from ESPN, one of the guys I met in fantasy, used to always give me such grief. No, a lot of people in fantasy, oh, you're from Cleveland, the Browns stink, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you know what? Now Cleveland's a champion. And so many people, the outpouring of genuine support for what happened was just unbelievable.
Yeah, it was the same for me because I spent before I came here, I was in Alabama for 2.5 years, and I got a lot of texts from people down there. And, you know, for people that are Alabama fans, if their season doesn't end with a championship victory, it's considered a disappointment and a failure. So it's weird for them to relate that they wonder, oh, my gosh, you haven't won anything in 52 years. And I was always the guy that wanted to watch NBA down there. They were like, yeah, you know, it's okay. Like last year at this time, actually, a story. Well, we were down in Alabama doing a story for ClevelandBrowns.com. I was with Jeff, one of our video guys downstairs. We went to a bar to watch Game 3 of the Finals. And the bar just closes in the middle of the game. And that was the reality. It's like, wow, I just came from a place that doesn't care about the NBA to a place that has Cavs fever to the absolute max. I was downtown yesterday for a while. I mean, it was like something I've never seen before in the city. And it's just one of those things where it's like, you've got the Indians in a great place. You've got the Browns building a great foundation with Hugh Jackson moving forward. You wonder what's next now for the city, now that you've gotten kind of the gorilla off your back with this championship drought.
Stipe Miocic, the Lake Erie Monsters, the Cleveland Cavaliers, maybe the Tribe wins the World Series. Browns Super Bowl, it's all coming in Cleveland.
Everything's on the table now. You're not the city.
The Miz is the Intercontinental Champion of the world.
You're not the city now anymore that is associated with this losing. And I think that takes the pressure off, because I think there was just this added layer of pressure for whatever team was in position to end the drought. I think that's what made this run seem even more improbable, because as much as they said that they weren't wearing this legacy of the city on their shoulders, it's got to be something that they're thinking about.
The weight that must be off of LeBron James's shoulders must be immense, because yeah. Here he is, the kid from Akron. He's the guy that wanted to come and erase it. He said it. I'm going to erase the drive. I'm going to erase Red Right 88. I'm going to erase the fumble. I'm going to erase all of that. I'm going to erase the shot. I'm going to give it to you. He gives you the block. Kyrie gives you the new shot with the Steph Curry dagger and stinks his eye. And now you are the champions. I love it. And by the way, I don't know if you guys saw this, but the WWE made a custom title belt for the Cavs that is sick. I'm retweeting it right now that you guys can check out. But just the connection for me as a guy who likes WWE, we've had an Undertaker shirt. We've had a Warrior shirt. We've got the Stone Cold belt. Last night, Kevin Love was wearing a Stone Cold t-shirt and clanging the beers like Stone Cold. It was awesome. I am so happy and thrilled, and especially for LeBron, because, I mean, people were burning his jersey in this city. I was pissed when he left. Like, how could you do that? And all he had to do, now he's done it. He's done everything he's ever had to do for this city. He won the title, and for him, that just must be such relief, because the pressure he put on himself must be immense. And when you are the greatest in the world at what you do, but it's still a team game at the end of the day, you can't always control the outcome. And I think it was headed down a bad path, and things broke right, and they flapped their gums, and they kind of poked the bear, and LeBron James woke up and realized, I can do this, I will do this, and he went out there and put in one of the greatest performances in the history of the National Basketball Association. And Kyrie did too. It's only overshadowed because of the fact of how great LeBron is. And pretty much any other NBA finals, Kyrie's the unanimous MVP.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think like game five, everyone was talking about Kyrie, even though him and LeBron had about identical stat lines. It was just how Kyrie did it. And now I'm hearing more about LeBron's block than I am even Kyrie's shot at the end there, because the focus kind of shifted to LeBron. But yeah, those two were phenomenal. I think it was more fitting that LeBron finishes with a triple-double in this Game 7 than another one of those 41-point explosions, because you needed the teammates around him to be better than they were in those previous games, and you got great performances out of Kevin Love. you got a great second half out of Tristan Thompson there. I mean, it just everyone kind of rose to the occasion. You pared down your rotations to about seven guys you trusted,
yep.
and all those guys did that. And the bench guys were all in with that as well. People have seen the videos of Timo Mozgov. I mean, the guy had a rough season. It lost a lot of money probably in free agency coming up, but that guy's having as much fun as anyone on the entire team.
Absolutely, and – you know, I said on Dog Pound Report yesterday, I said we just need one good stretch from JR, and he hit those two big triples in a row, and that was enough. That's what you needed, and those were big, big shots by JR Smith and everybody. Even Delly. Delly went from being a total part of the rotation to not playing at all in the NBA Finals, handled it like class. And I thought that the hug between Kevin Love and LeBron James, those were the first people that embraced once the buzzer went off, said a lot more that I think there was a lot of speculation about what that relationship was like. And Kevin Love gave you everything that you could have hoped for. Plus 19 on the game, 14 boards. All of the big three contributed in their way. And it was really great to see.
Bruce Bowen-like defense on Steph Curry there at the end. I mean, that was unbelievable. I mean, that was the Kevin Love I've never seen before.
Stinks Curry.
It's just, it was fantastic.
What did I tell you? Stinks Curry.
I know.
He stinks. Absolutely stinks. 6 of 19 from the floor. He's trying to talk himself into, I need to have the best game of my career. When you're trying to talk yourself into having a great game, you've already lost.
Yeah, I think there was another weird stat that I think that got put out there, but I need to double-check this, but maybe LeBron had better three-point field goal percentage than Klay Thompson in this series.
Klay was only 2 of 10 in that game. And Stinks Curry, by the way, in the last two games of the NBA Finals, Game 6 and Game 7, had 3 assists as a point guard. 3 assists, 8 turnovers.
Yeah.
Stinks.
I mean, right now, I mean, we're obviously looking too much ahead, but if you had to bet on one of these teams making it back to the finals, I think you're putting it all in the Cavs right now.
Yes.
With the way the East is set up and with the way, you know, the Warriors have a lot more decisions to make about next season than the Cavs do right now.
And how does Stinks Curry sit out in the fourth quarter? How do you take a rest in the fourth quarter? There were 6 timeouts between the two teams plus all the TV timeouts.
Weird coaching game from Kerr. I thought it was just a very odd decision. Stuck with Azeli and
Derjan
too much.
Give me more Festus Azeli. That's all I wanted. 11 minutes minus 9. That's the difference right there. Give me more Festus. That's all we needed. Festus, and more. When they put him in the fourth quarter, LeBron got the foul, and then hit the three on him. They're switching on it. You know what? Fine. Good. I'm glad it happened. All we needed was everything good to happen, and we got it from the Cavaliers. 93-89, Cleveland. This is your day. This is your show. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Call us up. Where were you? What are you feeling? What are you going through? The parade on Wednesday. It's going to be bananas. This is something Cleveland can, will, and should cherish for a long, long time. You deserve it, Cleveland. You are champions.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That's the Ultimate Warriors music. A champion in his own right. LeBron wearing the Ultimate Warrior shirt when he got off of the plane carrying the Larry O'Brien trophy today. What a moment. And I happened to get the pleasure of watching last night with the kid, the biggest Cleveland sports fan in the world, perhaps. And he joins us now. The kid!
For once in my life, I was speechless.
You were speechless.
It was just, it was beyond words. It really was just unbelievable the way the whole thing broke. And, you know, as much as great as LeBron is, and God bless him, MVP, got it all done, that championship doesn't happen without the Mamba. Nobody wanted the ball. In the last 5 minutes of the game, one person made a shot, and that was the Mamba. And he is not afraid, and he was, even in his head, he was channeling. He said he was playing to the inner Mamba.
Did you plant that quote? Was that done by you to kind of get some hype for your modern-day Mamba?
No, that was not. It was somewhere else. I don't know. I'm not technologically savvy enough to figure out to give credit where it was. But that's a direct quote.
It's a direct quote from Kyrie. I know. I was saying, did you tell him to say that?
Did I tell him to say that? When I picked up the black phone and me and Kyrie have a little private phone? No. But it was amazing. And it's been on what I've been saying all year. This guy is nails. And I think that, you know, this will be the turning point. He's now, you know, I would – put him in the Scottie Pippen, Dwayne Wade class. I know it's early. He's got to do it again. But he's young, and he's not afraid of the moment. And he's
not afraid of the moment at all.
Perfect for LeBron, because at the end of the day, LeBron would prefer to pass. And we all know Kyrie would prefer to shoot.
No question, and we saw that. What about Kevin Love comes out there with, I thought, a great floor game, 14 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals on the day for him, plus 19 leading all players. And in the last 2 games, I believe that makes him plus 37 for the Cavs while he's been on the floor finding a way to contribute. And that's what we called for. We said all he's got to do is have a good floor game, and he delivered
exactly.
That for you, especially
and,
some good defense on Stinks Curry late.
People forget that Chris Bosh had 0 points in a game 7 victory for them because he did what was needed to be done. He played defense and he rebounded. That's what Kevin Love did last night. And he drew a couple fouls. I mean, I still don't understand why he can't make layups, but he did. I mean, his work on the boards, especially in the first half when Tristan was a bit out of sorts, was just unbelievable. I mean, he had, I think, 8 rebounds in the first quarter. He just,
yep.
You know, it was just, and that's where, you know, Game 7s, and in credit to Bill Simmons for saying this, they're muck games. They're ugly. You got to win under the boards, and I think Kevin Love established that for the Cavs, and, you know, the rest of the crew followed suit, and, you know, they dominated on the boards, and that's really why they won the game. I mean, we didn't shoot well the entire game, but we won it old school. We won
40% from the floor, 24% from 3. Mate, the difference was 11 more free throws made on 12 more free throw attempts in this game versus the Warriors.
And, I mean, guys that aren't good free throw shooters like LeBron and Tristan stepped up and knocked them down. Every free throw that we had, I mean, we had to have all 3 free throws that LeBron had. If he doesn't make those 3 free throws, the game is different. We had to have those. We had those. Tristan Thompson knocked down 3 out of 4 a little bit earlier in the quarter. I mean, the way that the game played out was just amazing. And then the post game, I mean, it's just – everything you expect it to be, you never know what it's going to feel like. JR has not put his shirt back on since the game ended. Love it. I mean,
How about the fact that they stopped in Vegas, kid? I mean, if you or I won a title, that's the first thing we would do is go to Vegas.
Absolutely. And JR Smith, lifetime contract, give him whatever he wants. He cannot go anywhere.
I agree with that as well. How has it been for you waking up today? You know, I know you won a title with the Blue, but waking up today, because it's different. I mean, we were with our good buddy Adam Stern, and he was just like, I don't know. I don't even know how to react. We've always been the people who didn't win, and now you've won.
It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. I was just watching the plane land while I was eating lunch, and just the whole thing. It's goosebumps from start to finish. And I was very impressed and proud of the way that Cleveland celebrated. I was very nervous with the amount of people that were downtown. For there to be no incidents or no major incidents was a testament to Cleveland, and the fine police of Cleveland did a fantastic job during the celebration as well.
What did you think about being there with our kids? It was Father's Day. I was trying to talk to my kids. I'm like, my kids are 8 and 6, and I'm like, there are people who are over 50 years old, born in Cleveland, who never saw a championship, and you've seen one at 8 and 6. And it just, I got a little bit emotional trying to impart the importance of what they experienced. They were none too pleased. They were none too thrilled. They were not
My kids were, you know, they were happy. I think particularly my oldest was happy that I was happy, but I don't think that they really, you know, my kids aren't really that big of sports fans, but they, you know, they were happy to be out partying until 11:30 at night. But, other than that, I don't know that they'll take a championship T-shirt, I'm sure, or something. But
I was pleased. The only thing I was happy about with my kids is they came home and immediately wanted to watch the WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view. So they made it till about 1 o'clock watching Money in the Bank, and on the side, I kept watching my phone watching all the interviews from live on ESPN and everything.
Well, that my kids will never do, I hope. But they were happy. It was a fun atmosphere. It was pretty cool that, like, the adults were all going crazy, and some of these kids are like, what is going on here? It was spectacular. I mean, when I walked in, a gentleman named Steve Lurie, I've won 2 championships in my life, and he was there for both of them. I knew that was a good omen. When I walked in and saw him, I knew that was a real good omen. Another thing, in the post game on game 6, and the interviews leading up to game 7, I felt like Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, and all those guys, they were trying to convince themselves.
I said the same thing. Stinks was trying to talk himself into a good game because he didn't believe it genuinely.
They really didn't. Their belief was tested, and it really didn't have. I mean, they just once, you know, if it was any other team, if it wasn't Cleveland, I would have been very confident before the game. You can see sports stories developing over time, and the way that it was developing was when it got to Game 7, somehow, some way, the Cavs were going to win because Golden State had so many chances to put it away. And we've been on that side of it so many different times where you look back and say, God, if we would have done this, 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 or this, we would have won. And it just was developing like that, and just was amazing, amazing that the Cavs were able to come back, win two games on that floor against the team that lost there, once during the regular season. And really, I mean, I think it's time for Steph Curry to put that mouthpiece away and, be a little more humble next year. Give a little tip of the cap to Draymond Green. That was one of the most amazing performances I've ever seen. The guy had 32 points on, I think, 13 shots or 14
32 points
shots.
On 15 shots. He had 32, 15, and 9.
And frankly, played LeBron to a standstill or maybe even outplayed him. And just an amazing performance by him, and he got nothing. Then Klay Thompson, he's still better than the Showtime Lakers. You're not even better than the Cavs. Have a nice offseason, pal.
Now, I'm just wondering, from your perspective, I asked Nathan, did you know how to celebrate last night?
I
still don't know if I've celebrated yet.
We definitely celebrated, but I really didn't know. I didn't know what to do. I was,
you were way more subdued than I thought you were going to be.
I mean,
because during the game you were getting to lunatic level, and then after the game it was like you almost like were so calm.
Push him over the edge.
You did. You did push him over the edge. No, he didn't. I thought you were going to be going crazier.
It was a fantastic experience. What a game! I mean, there's no way, and I always knew that when Cleveland won, it would be in some crazy fashion. It had to be. I mean, how else could they do it? It couldn't be easy. It couldn't be, oh, we won 4-0, we won 4-1. We even just went, we win a game, they win a game. I mean, to come back 3-1 versus one of the greatest regular season teams, if not the greatest regular season team in NBA history, it's amazing. And that's the way Cleveland should do it. And I'm really happy that that's the way that played out.
The kid, how about Richard Jefferson, the article that he wrote, and then he wins and retires off in the sunset like a champion?
I just hope that maybe LeBron can convince him to come back.
I had the same exact thought. I was like, I'm happy for you, but come on.
I think
you. We need you. We can't sign anyone. We need you to come back.
One more time, Richard. One more time. And the Mamba, I look to have such a huge season next year. I wouldn't be shocked if he wins the regular season MVP next year.
Wow. An early call there.
Yeah.
By the way, I told you earlier this week, what did I tell everybody on the show? I said, go to the kids' window right now and bet everything before game 6, everything you have on the Cavs to win this series. The kid, did you go to the window?
I did not go to the window, and I don't even care. It would not increase my satisfaction one bit. It really wouldn't. I didn't want to. As a Clevelander,
I begged
as a man
you. Did I not beg you?
You did beg me, and I just didn't. I
and he
didn't
denied
do it.
Me.
I didn't do it. I know a few people that did. I just, you know what? I was going to enjoy it. I did not want to have one inch of jinxing of them. And I couldn't have bet enough money to have it make a difference to the way I feel.
Where does this rank for you compared to the Blue Championship?
Well, I mean, that was before there was a playoff, so this rates higher than it because it was, it wasn't like we were playing the other best team.
And the
it
city needs this, like the Blues
it wasn't
had some
a tournament. It was, so this ranks higher than that for that reason.
Have you had
now? If the Blues, comes through in the next couple years in the college football playoff, that I would imagine that would be higher in the rankings for me.
Does this make you want to see a Browns win a Super Bowl even more? I mean,
I can only imagine how crazy it is right now, and this has been and always will be a Browns town. I cannot even imagine what would happen if the Browns won. I mean, like, it just would be the mind-bogglingness of it, I can't even fathom what would happen. And I think it was a very class move. I don't know if it was Sashi or the Haslams to offer up the stadium was a very class move. There was no, you know, I really feel that the Browns, you know, and I don't know what the Indians, I don't follow, so I don't know what their support level was, but from Joe Hayden to the Browns in general, the level of support from the Browns for the Cavs was also very nice. You know, sometimes you feel like there's a little bit of competition between the teams and in the city, but I felt like the Browns were very supportive, and Joe Hayden wrote an awesome article on Monday Morning Quarterbacks, you know, and as I said to you before, I mean, there's no cooler guy in Cleveland sports than Joe Hayden. I just hope he can regain his level of play to match his personality and his leadership and all that good stuff.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Are you going to the parade, Kia?
I will definitely be in the parade at the parade in some capacity, deciding if I want to take my kids, see what time it's at. I don't think my kids really – I think they actually might enjoy the parade more than the games, but I'll have to wait and see what time it's at and all that good stuff. But I will be in attendance, yes.
Yes. It's Wednesday. I know that. That's all I know so far. I heard it could be a little bit on the earlier side, like midday, early midday.
Early midday.
I heard afternoon,
well,
but I think that they're still hashing out the details.
Yeah.
I think
11 a.m.
You got to find some roads that aren't under construction.
Afternoon would be best if they're
if
they
anybody's
care for,
listening out there for me, 11 a.m., 12 p.m., those times work real well.
The kid, phenomenal. Still kind of surreal, unbelievable. And Cleveland is a champion. Have you heard from, like, a lot of your buddies from, you know, home who now live in different places, and then also people that just know you're from Cleveland and have sent a lot of, you know, well wishes? Because for me, that was the thing that checked me the most. A lot of people who identify me with Cleveland from around the country that I've worked with or talked to have all sent me, like, notes about how happy they are.
You know, as you guys know, I'm a little vociferous, and so a lot of my friends in college knew of my struggles as a Cleveland sports fan. I got a lot of shout outs from the Blues supporters that were pulling for the Cavs just because they went to school with some of us, and it was great. And this is the best side note. My boy, the Bully Bullion.
The Bullion!
He had a kid on Saturday, and he told me he knew right then that the Cavaliers were going to be victorious, that it was just such a good omen. But he waited until after Game 7 to tell me, which
what?
I thought was spectacular.
What a year for the Bully Bullion, too, by the way.
Yeah, the Bully Bullion.
The Denver Broncos fan?
Every
a
year.
Fine man.
Year for the Bully Bullion.
Well, yes. Yes, indeed. By the way, shout out to Todd Derry, who was there, took some great videos. I told you guys to follow him for everything Tribe as you shift your attention that way. He wants everybody to know that Kipnis was at every one of these games. He's very locked in with what happened with the Cavs. And Todd tweeted out the celebration video from our house last night, which was very cool to see. So you can check that out under Todd Derry on Twitter, the great Todd Derry. It's definitely
and
now
be,
as people get into the
and
Tribe,
have to be,
there's
I'll
nobody
have to,
better.
I'll have to give him the same support he gave me. You know, the Tribe, he bleeds and he lives and dies with the Tribe. And I'm hoping that they'll bring it home. And I told him at the beginning of the year, I think they're a World Series team. You have pitching like that, and, you know, I'm no baseball expert, so I'm not going to start getting into statistics, but their starting pitching is tremendous. I'd like to see them pick up an arm in the bullpen so Todd Derry can bring home that title as well.
It's at TD, the number one Tribe KU. At TD, the number one Tribe KU. He'll cover
and
you on the
like
Tribe, and
if
you happen to like Kansas City, Kansas basketball, he'll get you there as well.
If you like either one of those things and you don't follow him, you should be committed.
That is true. If you like the Tribe or Kansas basketball and you don't follow Todd Derry, you're doing yourself a disservice. Todd said he wants you to know, kid, that you put on a LeBron-type performance last night yourself.
I did what I could. I did what I could.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What was the moment last night where you thought you felt the worst, and when did you finally know it was over?
I felt the worst when they went down 7 points in the first half just because nothing was happening. I did feel a jolt of energy when M.G. Gottfried walked into the house and, you know.
Yeah, we had a buddy who came at halftime to change the mojo, and he did.
And that,
did you vote
that
someone
I
off the island?
M.G. Gottfried.
Felt better.
Stern had to go upstairs.
When you honestly, when you said if they get up five, it's over, even though they gave up the lead, like right then you could sort of sense the Warriors panicking and they were like turning it over like they had been doing. And that's when I started to feel the best. And then from that point forward, I really thought we were going to find a way to win it.
My feel for these two teams as I got a couple games in the series
was tremendous.
I had it. I was totally locked in on Stinks Curry. I like to think I was like just rooting against him so hard through the screen. I like to think that I had 1% of karmic impact on Stinks being Stinks.
And again, to tip my cap to my friend Ag in Chicago, literally 5 minutes after game four ended, I got a text from him saying, this will cement LeBron's legacy coming back from 3-1 down. I'm just saying this happens. It's going to be legendary, and it's going to be something that will make no one will ever criticize LeBron again. And he called it when they were down 3-1, not when they were down 3-2, not when they were down, when they were tied 3-3, when they were down 3-1, Ag Silver made the call that they were going to win the title. And God bless the man.
God bless the man. God bless Cleveland, the champions of the world. And God bless you, the kid. Thanks for being with us. And, you know, whenever you want to do surprises, I mean, I feel like your surprise performance where he showed up, Gribbs, out of nowhere, emerged up those stairs like the Undertaker himself, had something to do with Game 6 and Game 7.
I think Game 6 I'll take some credit for. Game 7, you know, it had worn off by that.
Unbelievable. By the way, I'm being told the parade, a couple people on Twitter are saying the parade is scheduled for 11 a.m.
Perfect. That works for me. Works for me. You guys should take the show on a remote. Gipsy, make it happen.
We should. Actually, we're not going to be on that day. They're going to be live from the parade. It won't be us.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
That means I'll be at the parade, Monferre.
All right. We'll see you there.
All right, the kid. All right, Cleveland, 216-578-0850. Call us up here on CBD. You are champions.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, welcome back, Cleveland. You are champions. Nathan Segura, Andrew Gribble in for Matt Wilhelm here on a Cavs Championship edition of CBD. Let's go to Joe in Cleveland now. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Wonderful. Glorious.
Oh, so good.
Living the dream, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Actually living it. All right. Did you see any of these tweets? Some are awesome. But Drew Carey tweeted, Caldwell Jones. How about Mark Cuban? He tweeted and he said,
I love that.
Dan Gilbert. And then he said something about Gordon Gunn, which I thought was great. But the best tweet was Rodman. He's like, great champions, great season for Golden State. But best team ever were the Bulls, 95-96.
Yeah, he was still talking. He was using it to still talk trash, which I thought was phenomenal.
Hey, big thanks to Harrison Barnes for sucking the last three or four games. That was huge. Draymond can play for me anytime. He could say, hey, you know what, guys? I don't like you guys. Got no guts. I'm going to go play with Cleveland. They got more guts.
Draymond Green was absolutely as good as anybody could have been in that game. And they still took his punches, and won. Stinks Curry, where is he? Is there a milk carton? Where's Stinks Curry? I'm looking for him. I don't see him anywhere.
But, you know, I think the argument was made by a lot of people who cover the NBA that, you know, as much as Steph Curry was that team's MVP by stats and by how you had to give him the MVP award for the kind of season he just had, that Draymond was the most irreplaceable player on that team. And that it clearly showed in game five, on a game on their home court, a closeout game potential where the Cavs are reeling down 3-1. They just weren't the same team. And then I think that Bogut injury to the Warriors
that
just killed them rotation wise.
That was actually a big, much bigger deal than people made it out to
be. As much as you like to say Steph Curry stinks, I think their bigs behind Bogut stink. I mean, Varejao couldn't get on the floor with the Cavs for a reason.
And Harrison Barnes was atrocious.
Yeah.
He couldn't score. Azeli looked completely lost and outmatched. And everything broke the way that they needed it to. And then they did everything that they had to to win.
And I think the extra minutes caught up with Iguodala by the end. Like, I think in game five he had to play 12 minutes over his average. And I just think that translated into a back injury in game six. And then he was better in this last game, but he wasn't nearly the menace that he'd been to the Cavs the last 2 years.
Oh, you're completely correct. You're completely correct. Let's go to Van in Georgia now. Van.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Man, I can't even believe it. It actually happened finally. I'm really hoping that Kyrie sends some Kyrie 2s to Steph's wife. She'd probably use those. Get off those Chef Curry's.
Yes. That's but, right. Off of those old dad shoes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Kevin Love showing up to play though last night was just huge for us. I mean, I had doubted him a lot, and then when he came and got them 14 rebounds, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I feel like it isn't real, like it hasn't happened really.
It is real. It has happened. It's unbelievable.
It's
unbelievable. Unbelievable. Where'd you watch the game last night? Hung up. That's all right. All right. All right. We're going to try to get back on clock. 216-578-0850. Cavs Championship Edition of CBD. We'll also give you some insight on Joe Hayden's article from the Monday Morning Quarterback. So call us up. Let's talk Cavs. Let's talk Celebration Cleveland here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. The Cavs are champions, and we want to talk with you about it. Let's go to Bill in Brecksville now. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nathan, how you doing? It's funny. Between game six and game seven, I turned off everything, and it was funny because I didn't want to hear anything. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to talk to anything. I watched the U.S. Open until 9. At 9 o'clock, I turned it over, and I was just quiet through the whole thing. And I think all the things that happened to us, I'm 57 years old, and over the years just came back to me, and I couldn't get excited. I couldn't do anything. But I'll tell you, the thing that got me the most was I really wanted to hate the Warriors, but after listening to Steve Kerr, what a class act. And
Steve Kerr, total class act.
And pardon me?
You know, they handled what happened to them as well as anybody could. But at the end of the day, you know, they've got to be disappointed because it was their star who abandoned them when they needed it the most. And it was, imagine, and I keep saying this, I still think he keeps getting a big pass. Imagine if LeBron turned in a performance like he did in Game 7, he'd be getting absolutely murdered.
I just think that it all came back to, I think they thought they won the series in Game 4. I think that in that, they never regained that killer instinct that had gotten them that far. You know,
right.
I think they came into the series thinking they'd won the finals after beating OKC. Cause I didn't think they really respected the Cavs all that much. And they thought that they were such a better matchup with them and everything. And I think there was a lot of talk about how, oh, the Cavs are giving them so much space on the floor. It's everything's so much easier now that they're not playing the Thunder. And that was true in the first two games. And then the switch flipped. And I think, even Game 4, as much as we like to say all these games were blowouts up until Game 7, Game 4 was a back-and-forth game for three quarters. I mean, that, and then the Warriors pulled away. That was the one game that they genuinely won when the Cavs were playing pretty well in this series. I think that – and then I just think the Cavs had that killer instinct throughout – once they went down 3-1, and the Warriors were just in a place where they could just never truly get it back. I mean, they don't lose many games – or ever lose when they make as many threes as they did in the first half. And they just could never away.
They were 7-for-27 on twos, and you made what you just said there was a key. That's what I kept telling everybody that I was watching the game with, was they can't pull away. They can't build the lead to double digits and then hit that dagger, that backbreaker. They couldn't build the lead. They would hit threes, and then the Cavs would come down, and Kyrie would get a three-point play, or LeBron would get a three-point play, and they couldn't stretch it.
I feel like watching this, and I think Mark Jackson made a comment about this, it feels like Ty Lue is the first coach to figure out that you don't need five timeouts in the final 2 minutes. He uses his anytime the Warriors started getting on one of those runs.
Yep.
Used them a lot. I mean, used timeouts, even like back-to-back shots. he would stop the momentum, get the team back on the bench, get them refocused, and I think that played a big part. And yeah, it leaves you with maybe a few less timeouts and crunch time situations, but you're playing the odds in this series that there might not be crunch time. So you're just wasting those timeouts, taking them with you, and you can't carry them over to every game. So I thought that was one of the best coaching moves that he made throughout the series, where his use of timeouts, especially on the road.
Judicious. Let's go north of the border. Cam in Canada. Cam!
Congratulations from Raptors Nation.
Thank you so much, Cam. What an unbelievable, unbelievable run and night it certainly was.
My family, I mean, we've been Raptors fans since it all began. And, I mean, we were jumping up and down, literally screaming. It was emotional. We're just so happy. You know, it's been such a love affair for me with the Browns for 39 years. And to see you guys get the opportunity to celebrate, it just feels like something broke open. And the other thing I wanted to say, you know, it's all gone now, but with Steph and Ayesha Curry, I think we saw a very important lesson. There's a very important passage in my view that says pride cometh before the fall. And it's all done now, and it's a fresh start for them, and they're young. They lost sight. Their proclamations about who blesses them were very profound. But when they lost sight of that and it became about them, things turned very, very quick. So the message here is be humble, stay humble, because things can flip on a proud person very, very quickly.
Yes, it certainly can. Cam, thank you so much for the call. Go ahead, Griff.
And I'll speak to this for someone who's, you know, like Cam, who's a Raptors fan. This has to be rewarding for anyone that is, I think, roots for a good team in the Eastern Conference as well. I think that the reaction after game two was, oh, the Eastern Conference, total garbage, stinks. You know, the Cavs had a total cakewalk. And, you know, very well, I think the Western Conference had some elite teams. But I think that perception, it may not change for many people, and it probably won't. But I think for a team like the Raptors that played really well in games 3 and 4 against the Cavs, you take that, you have something to build on. You might not think you were as down as you were at the end of the season. You might feel better about the kind of fight you put up against the Cavs, who are now the champions.
Absolutely. 216-578-0850. Vinny in Brecksville. It's a celebration, Vinny.
Oh, my gosh, guys. I don't even know where to begin. I didn't want to call in because I think I'm going to become a blubbering idiot. And
that's all right. And, let it out, Vinny. Let it out.
There's no way. Excuse me.
That's all right, man. It's crazy. I've seen more grown men crying the last 24 hours than maybe at any point in my life.
You don't know what it's like to win a championship until you are a true fan of that team. I've seen champions. I've seen Ohio State. I've seen it all. But I've never felt what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable, guys.
It really is, and you know, this city deserved it so much, and it was so great to see this happen for all the people of Cleveland. I've never come, you know, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I lived in Atlanta, and then I've lived here now for the last 15 years of my life, and I've never seen a community that was so loyal and passionate about their sports teams and loyal about Cleveland. Like, there's a lot of pride in this city. And, you know, it's funny, you'd go and be elsewhere in the country and people would talk smack. And I remember when I had people come visit me, they'd be like, man, Cleveland's pretty good. I'm like, yeah, no, obviously, Cleveland is great. It's a wonderful place and it's a community unlike anywhere else, because most people that are in Cleveland are from Cleveland. It's not a transplant place. So there are a lot of people that have roots that want to come here. And I mean, I had multiple friends who came in just to be downtown in Cleveland last night, not to go to the game, obviously, because the game wasn't here, but just to go and go to the watch party, or just to go be downtown for when this happened, to be a part of Cleveland. And I think that's what's so special about this place, that there is so much pride. And I think part of it was, and I think this is going to be a new era for Cleveland, because I think part of that pride was nobody knows what it's like to be us but us. You know, we haven't won, but we're still great, and we still have this, like, love and bond. And I could be wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. You're more of a Clevelander than I. But I think that this is going to be a new era, because now it's going to be a pride as well in the fact that we can do it. We knew we could do it, and now we've done it.
Yeah, and I think it was just fitting that this came out. This happened so quickly after, you know, for anyone who didn't know about the Cleveland and everything like that, when Believe Land came out a couple months ago, that hit like the most eyes in the nation and kind of opened them up to the things that we already knew. I think that's why a lot of people who saw Believe Land who lived in Cleveland, like, oh, I already know all this. I've seen all this, and I didn't want to relive the misery. But I think for others around the country, they saw kind of what was building up to this potential moment with the Cavs. And I think that there's such a greater appreciation around the nation now for what happened with the Cavs in this championship city. And I agree. I moved out of Cleveland in 2008. It wasn't a place where a lot of my friends were moving downtown. They were, you know, living out in the suburbs, staying out there. And then all of a sudden, when I moved back in 2014, it's just a completely different city.
Yep.
I got a lot of friends who live in downtown. Everyone's moving closer to the city. You know, I think that the time without LeBron in Cleveland allowed people to take pride in what they were building in the city without the sports. And then on top of it, when you get back, you get great at sports again. I think people just kind of come together. And I think that's why I've loved both of these playoff runs for the Cavs. I look forward to it with both the Indians and Browns in the future, because it's just something that brings you together. You have reasons to go out on a Wednesday. You know, you've got reasons to go be with your friends and be together. And, you know, even I went downtown. I was with a lot of my friends yesterday before going back out to Lakewood with different groups of people. And
there at like 3, you said.
Yeah, it was a great experience to just see this all coming together. And I think as much as we're worried and everything about the RNC next month and everything that could bring to Cleveland, it's just the fact that Cleveland has gotten one of this. It shows the progress that's been made, and I think that's going to continue to make.
And it's just the genuine passion. It's the genuine love affair that these people have with this city and with the sports teams. I mean, he just called up and just cried. Like, he knew he was going to cry, and then he cried. And it's just it's like nothing else. When I was driving in today, I got goosebumps driving in, just seeing the mass of humanity on 237 walking towards the airport just to get to see this team come back. And it really is an amazing, genuine, passionate, wonderful thing for a group of people who deserve it so much. I mean, now that I've had the pleasure, the opportunity to work in the National Football League and work for a franchise as great and as proud as the Cleveland Browns and be a part of, you know, a touch point for the best fans in all of sports, I even have more of an appreciation for it. And I know that someday, when, not if, when the Browns are the ones flying back with a Super Bowl championship, that it is just going to be absolute bedlam. And I think it's so nice for this city to have a taste of that now, to know that, you know what, because even though it's not real, the perception of it is that this somewhat legitimizes Cleveland and everybody from Cleveland. They were all legitimized in my eyes before that, but to the rest of the country and maybe even the world, this legitimizes Cleveland to be what we all know that it is. And I think that's pretty cool. That's one of the cool things that sports can do.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, it's a win for the Cavs. It's a win for, I think it's a win for the Browns and the Indians. I think it's a win for the entire city, the entire region. Everyone can benefit from this and move forward with just a lot of confidence and just with everything you do. I think it affects everyone in this community from an economic standpoint, from just a happiness standpoint, and just for the future of the city, I think it's perfect.
Yeah, and it was not even hard for me It wasn't hard for me whatsoever to root for the 100%. I wasn't 1% rooting for the Warriors, 100%, even though I grew up in the Bay Area. But, you know, I was more of a 49ers than an A's fan. You just have – there's nothing like the passion of the people in Cleveland. Nothing like it. It doesn't exist in the Bay Area. It doesn't. It does not exist. Not even for the Niners in their heyday. There was a lot of pride because you had Joe Montana and he was doing Joe Montana stuff, but there wasn't just the absolute passion that people in Cleveland have for their sports teams. And that's what's so awesome. When we come back, we're going to keep sharing it with all of you. 216-578-0850 here on a Cavs Championship edition of CBD.